Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Don Jackson Blattner joins us on Wednesdays at this time. Don, when do you normally join us? Do you normally join us on Wednesdays or Thursdays?
Thursdays, and this is a shakeup. Today is Wednesday, but we're doing a little shakeup just this week.
Okay, good. Well, at least then I was going down some sort of path of logic or sense. I don't normally do that. DJB is the author and registered dietitian and nutritionist that you can follow at DJ Blattner on Instagram, and Don Jackson Blattner is her website. Don, you sent to producer Pete a shopper's guide that actually I can print out and cut and put in my wallet. Is this right?
Yes. So it's quite controversial. Are you prepared for some controversy, actually?
Okay, go.
There is, every year, the Environmental Working Group, EWG, puts out something called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And this is a ranking of what vegetables have the most pesticides on them and which have the least pesticides. And you would think this is, you know, hey, a great thing. We want to know this. Good news. However, there's a lot of controversy around this list and not being this end-all, be-all great guide, because what's happening is people are taking this information and they are fearful of buying any produce, and people are eating less fruits and vegetables because they're so afraid because this list comes out. And at the end of the day, when you think about this, all the types and levels of pesticides on this list, even on the Dirty Dozen list, are within the healthy EPA guidelines. So we're really stirring up quite a lot of fear in people without needing to. We really don't need to use this list to buy our produce. The most important thing, whether it's organic or not, is to try and eat 3 cups of vegetables every day and 2 cups of fruit. Now, I do sort of like this list if somebody is like, you know, I really do want to buy organic. You know, where do I get the most bang for my buck? Then you could print out the Dirty Dozen list and say, okay, these are the ones, if I am going to buy organic, maybe these are more important to buy organic than the others. But the key is, you know, please don't make this list make you fear eating, you know, any kinds of fruits and vegetables, because it's more important to eat them than not.
The 5 on the list of the Dirty Dozen are pears, peaches, kale, collard, mustard greens, spinach, and number 1, strawberries, the dirtiest of the Dirty Dozen. And that's a guide to pesticides in produce. So if I wash the fruits and vegetables, though, doesn't that solve the problem, Don?
Yes. So absolutely, by washing them, and a proper way to wash fruits and vegetables is under a steady stream of running water, aggressively with your hands to really get in there and wash it, you will remove some of the pesticides. Now, it is true that when fruits and vegetables grow, pesticides can grow into the flesh, so you're not going to get them all off. But again, there's no reason to fear this and say, oh my gosh, now I can only eat organic, I can't afford this, I'm going to just skip it altogether. There's no need to do that, because the levels and the numbers are really within the safe guidelines of the EPA already. So again, you can have the list, but you don't have to make it some sort of Bible that, you know, this is the only thing you're going to follow. You know, make sure you eat your fruits and vegetables regardless if they're organic or not.
By the way, the Clean 15 include things with husks or thick skin, like avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, onions, papayas, sweet peas that are in a shell, obviously asparagus, honeydew melon, stuff like that. I get that. Should I be buying organic? What's the value? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so the deal with organic is how it's grown and the types of pesticides that are allowed to be used, right? It's different. However, again, in terms of safety, is that whether you're buying conventional or organic, it's most important that you're eating fruits and vegetables. And if you do have extra dollars to spend on organic, there are different pesticides on the organic produce, but there's still pesticides used, right? You can use that Dirty Dozen list to say, okay, hey, maybe I will get strawberries and spinach and, you know, my blueberries and peaches and nectarines organic, but everything else I'm not. you know, you can use it sort of to help guide in that way. But, you know, in general, I think every time this comes out every year, I like the list. I think it's good information to know. However, I don't ever want anyone to be afraid of eating conventional fruits and vegetables because they are safe.
You don't have to answer this, but do you buy organic?
You know what? I really do use that list and say to myself, if I'm going to the store and I have money to spend extra, as we know, groceries are very expensive, I will use that list and not buy, for example, like you said, you know, avocados are on this clean 15 list. So what, do I really need to buy an organic avocado? No. You know, it's on the clean 15 list. Still wash it, even though you don't eat the skin, P.S., of all your fruits and vegetables. Even if you're not eating the skin, wash it before you cut it. That will keep it safe. But, yeah, so I'll sort of use the list to decide where I'm going to spend my organic dollars if I do indeed do it.
You know those bags of little cutie oranges they have in the grocery stores now that
are
easy to peel and are just so damn delicious? And I was thinking, it can't be this good and good for you. Like, there's probably too much sugar in there. I shouldn't eat a lot of those. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh, I love those. I can't get enough of them. They're so great. Three of them are considered a serving. They are so easy to peel and makes it so much more likely that you eat oranges as a snack rather than like candy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so all fruit has sugar, but it has no added sugar. It's all natural, which why we love that is because it's within a matrix of fiber and vitamin C and other nutrients that really slow its absorption in our body, meaning that it's not going to give you some sort of like sugar fix like a candy bar would. It gives you a more sustained energy, and it's a wonderful thing to add. And that counts toward your 2 cups of fruit that you are aiming for every single day.
Did you see that there's a bill in California that would ban the sale of Skittles and hot tamales and double bubble twist gum? They say it has red dye in it. And among other things, red dye number 3, titanium dioxide, potassium bromate, brominated vegetable oil, or propyl paraben. If it has those things in there, they don't want you to be able to sell it. Well, that's how they make hot tamales, which, by the way, are delicious. And Skittles is like one of America's favorite snack foods. In California, they would not even be able to sell them there.
Yes. Producer Pete sent that to me and said, oh, my gosh, did you see this? And I got to say, I'm all for a little shakeup here. You know, California is very much known for being on sort of the fringe and cutting edge, if you will, of really maintaining integrity of what our government is doing and looking at. And so, hey, if this gives people a shakeup to say, hey, you know what, we'd like our Skittles to be made with a different type of red dye, I'm all for this opening eyes of manufacturers and trying to keep our food supply as healthy as it can be. And here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, is anyone really eating these candies thinking they're a health food? No. Should you be eating bags and bags and bags of them and be fearful of eating them? You know, no. You know, a dabble do you. You know, you don't have to be afraid of these things. But, you know, I don't mind a little shakeup to say, hey, let's look and make sure everything is, you know, on the up and up with what's in our food, even candy.
312-981-7200. You've got a question about the food you eat or don't eat or the vitamins or the whatever. Dawn is the registered dietitian and nutritionist and author and television celebrity and Chicagoan. DJ Blattner on Instagram. DawnJacksonBlattner.com is her website. You ready for some questions from our listeners?
Yes, I would love that.
Hey, King John. Question for Dawn. Bone broth thoughts on health benefits. Also, fasting 4 days, thoughts. We talk a lot about that intermittent fasting business, but answer them both. What do you know about bone broth?
Okay, so bone broth is excellent. It's actually very, very good. So bone broth is exactly what it sounds like. It's boiling the bones of animals, and you're getting in there nutrients and things like collagen, glutamine, which is an amino acid. All of these things are very repairative for your body, especially your gut. And so it is great for gut health. Now, is it a magic bullet? Like, if you Google bone broth, you would think that it's going to save your life. You would think that this thing is going to just change everything. It is not some sort of, you know, magic elixir that's going to fix all of your life's problems, but It is a wonderful food. When you buy it in the grocery store, it'll say it's not like chicken broth. We're not talking about that. Or beef broth. We're not talking about that. It's actually called bone broth. It has a very high protein level, and you usually will pour it into a mug, heat it up, and sip it like it was a coffee. And it's really hot right now. Gwyneth Paltrow was just talking about it. And so a lot of people have been asking about it. And so it's a great food for protein and good nutrients, but it's not a magic bullet.
What do you want to say just in general? We've talked about it before, about intermittent fasting.
Okay, so IF, intermittent fasting, is where you are taking a window of time where you're not eating and a window of time where you are eating. And I'm very pro intermittent fasting for many people. But if people have, you know, diabetes or heart disease or kidney trouble or a history of eating disorder, there's a lot of people who can't just jump into intermittent fasting and just start doing it. But if you want to dabble, a great place to start is what I call 12-12, which is 12 hours not eating. So say you stop eating at 8 p.m. at night, and then 8 a.m. in the morning is when your 12 hours would be up from fasting and you would start eating again. And the reason why either 12-12 works or 14 hours of a fast or 16 hours of a fast, it's this very interesting opportunity for your body to become a self-cleaning oven, basically. This time where you're giving your body rest from eating, it says, oh, wait, I've got rest from eating. I'm going to start a cleaning process. It's called autophagy. And basically, it is a wonderful way to get rid of sort of old, tired cells and get yourself feeling this longevity blast, which I love. So I don't necessarily recommend it for weight loss, which is, I know, why everybody wants to do it. I recommend it more for the longevity angle of what it can do. So if 12-12 is easy for you, you could try 14 hours. So you'd end eating at 8 p.m. and then 10 a.m. would be the next time that you would eat. I love it also because it helps people be mindful of not night eating, which is really not a great time to be eating when it's dark and is right before bed. Cutting out night eating is a smart idea.
Hey, John Williams, please ask Don if popcorn is gluten-free and if it's high in carbohydrates.
Okay, so popcorn is naturally gluten-free. If you're buying something that's got a lot of flavoring and additives, you know, you got to pay attention. But just straight old air pop popcorn is made of corn, and corn is gluten-free. It is naturally a whole grain, so it's a wonderful snack. Last week, we talked about a little bit of what you could travel with in the car and snack. Mm-hmm. And I sort of kicked myself after we talked. I was like, why didn't I tell people to bring popcorn in the car? Because it really is a great natural whole grain. And is it carbohydrate? Yes. Corn is a carbohydrate. Popcorn is a carbohydrate. And luckily, our body needs carbohydrate, protein, and fat. Those are the three main nutrients in our diet, carbohydrate, protein, and fat. And you need at least 130 grams of carbohydrate for your brain to work, for your heart to pump. So you don't have to avoid carbs. It's just trying to get the better for you versions of carbs. And that would be fruits, vegetables, and whole grains like popcorn.
We love that Chicago mix, though. And that Garrett stuff is not what we're talking about, right?
I know. I mean, as a Chicagoan, you know I love that stuff, too. But, yeah, we're not talking about that. That's, you know, more of the occasional treat. But, you know, just good old-fashioned air pop popcorn is more of an everyday food.
Tom from Barrington, you were talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches last week, Dawn, as good snacks if it's on whole grain bread with a sugar-free peanut butter and then some sort of natural fruit, not jelly, which sounds like a lot of work to me, by the way.
Are you kidding? No, I got to say, listen, you slice up a banana, slap it between two pieces of whole grain bread with some nut butter on there, bada bang, bada boom. I mean, it's great. I got to say, if you try it once, it tastes so much better. And I'm not just saying it because I'm a dietitian. I'm telling you, it tastes so much better with real fruit on there. It's like even more substantial of a sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I get
like
that.
I like strawberries on there, too. It's good.
Well, Tom from Barrington says, here's the best sandwich ever. Peanut butter, jelly, diced red onion, arugula, a toasted 12-grain bread. So good.
Okay, I am so into that. I will 100% try it. I have never tried arugula on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm into it. Anytime you can shove greens on something, you know I'm going to be a fan. You know I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to try it.
Ask Dawn, what about frozen strawberries as far as pesticides?
Okay. Well, I mean, it would fall into the same category. And again, I don't follow this Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 to the letter. It's not like we need to. But if you are interested, strawberries frozen would be the same kind of category of buying them organic. If you have that money and want to do it,
okay,
you can do it. But
right.
You can feel good. Yes. But you can feel good about the regular strawberries, you know, conventional grown strawberries, too. Still safe.
I just feel like I'm being taken. Like, I go to the Whole Foods or Mariano's, and they got cucumbers here, cucumbers there. One is a dollar more than the other, and it's a cucumber, but one's organic. And I'm thinking, I'll be fine. I feel like I'm being played. Maybe I should. Now you're making me think twice about strawberries, though, Dawn.
Well, you know what? Here's what I think. 100% what you said is why I'm very skittish about this list, is because it makes people not want to buy either. They say, you know what? I don't even know. I don't know what's safe. I don't know what's that. I'm not buying any of it. Well, that's the wrong answer. What we want to say is all of our fruits and vegetables sold in the store, conventional or organic, are safe. But if you do feel like, you know what, I want to buy some things organic, then you can sort of use that list to decide, like, oh my gosh, you know, strawberries on the list, fine. I'll buy those organic.
Yeah,
fine.
Right.
But again, really and truly, this list comes out and people panic. And the most important thing is that you look at your cart, you do a cart check. If you are pulling into that checkout line and you do not have half of a cart of fruits and vegetables, there's no way you can be eating healthy that week. So always do a cart check, and if you don't have it, go back to the produce section and stock up.
Or get rid of the Doritos, for crying out loud, which are delicious.
I'm a big fan of just adding. Positive nutrition is about adding food. So just add more fruits and vegetables on top of the Doritos, and that'll be just fine.
Barb, you're on WGN with Dawn. What can we do for you, Barb?
Hi, Dawn. I just really was interested in the intermittent fasting and was wondering, like, during that off time, are you okay to drink coffee or tea, or should it just be straight water?
Oh, good question. So in the off time, it's water, tea, and coffee, as long as there's no additives. So, you know, it's not like the Frappuccino hour or milk and sugar in your coffee, but black coffee, tea, and water are fine in the fasting window.
Got it. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the answer. Rhonda, you're on WGN with Dawn. What can we do for you, Rhonda?
Hey. Yeah, hi, Dawn. I have a question specifically about something called the blood type diet. Now, I have a little bit of a healthcare credential, but not to the extent that you do. My husband is type O blood. I'm type A. He's supposed to eat a little more meat, and I'm supposed to eat a little more carbs, and it seems to work for us. And I think from reading, it has a little bit of a scientific validity, but I just wanted your opinion. Do you put any credence in that blood type diet at all?
I do not put credence in the blood type diet. However, I do sometimes think, you know what, is it going to do any harm to anybody to experiment and play around with doing these subtle shifts? And it's like, no, it's not going to hurt you to make a subtle shift. And so if you like it for your life, I'm totally giving you a thumbs up on it. But it is not something I recommend or believe there's enough science to recommend.
Thanks for the call.
But I love it for you.
847 says, a dietitian once steered me away from bananas in the morning and towards those cuties, the oranges. Why would that be?
Oh, I don't know. Don't demonize bananas. I mean, they're the best. They're the best. There's something called, especially the greener the banana is, there's something called resistant starch in there, which you digest and your gut microbiome, your good bacteria start creating magical chemicals called like butyrate. And it's so good for us. I got to say, I'm very pro all the fruits. So, you know, every day eating cuties? No. Some days is a cutie, some days a banana. But making sure that your morning, this, I got to be clear on this, morning should be more than fruit for sure. Protein early in the day has been shown to help energy and appetite all through the day. Your first meal of the day sets you up. It must contain a protein food, whether that's Greek yogurt or eggs or cottage cheese or leftover chicken breast, anything that you can do that's protein, plus your cup of fruit, whether that's a banana or a cutie.
One last question, and remember, Dawn will join us usually on Thursdays, today a Wednesday, but we always appreciate you giving us a day in the week, Dawn. I buy a bag of spinach that says that they are thoroughly washed and ready to eat, so I don't wash the spinach in that bag. Am I wrong?
It's absolutely right. If you see something that says triple cleaned, already washed, ready to eat, you do not need to wash it. And in fact, there is some suggestion that if you were to wash that, that you would contaminate it more in your house with all of the germs you have around than if you would just eat it straight out of the package. So although there's been back and forth on this, the final answer is if it's already been washed and it says it's ready to eat, just eat it. Don't rewash it.
Follow Dawn at DJ Blattner on Instagram or DawnJacksonBlattner.com on the internet. Dawn, thank you so much. As always, very helpful.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Yep, let's do that. Let's plan on Thursday, but maybe Wednesday, and usually around this time, between 11:30 and 12 noon.